This morning, you notice that on our stage up here, there's two flags. And in many churches, and in our sanctuary worship, they're there every Sunday. This flag represents our country. And it's a flag that brings respect and honor. Have you ever noticed how one who has served in our nation's military honors the flag, gives respect to the flag in ways that we often fail to? I was at a Deschler football game earlier in the season, and Joel Paris, one of the veterans in our church, was sitting beside me, and he was sitting on my right. And the way the flag is now in the with the new stadium, it's been moved from where I would sit on be on the left. It's now on the right. And so when we stood for the national anthem and to see the flag, he was kind of in my sight, to my right. And I put my hand on my heart as the band played, but I noticed how he came to such an attention and a salute. He had his Navy hat on, and the pride and the honor that he looked at that flag with. It's more than just a symbol to them, but it's a symbol that represents a life of commitment. I was in Jack's earlier this year, picking up a breakfast biscuit, and a group of guys that are normally sitting there at the Jack's over at Sheffield, one of them motioned me to come over and said, "Mr. Earl died last night." He was one that was regularly there for breakfast and fellowship, and I think it's more for them about the eating than it, I mean about the conversation than it was just the eating. And when I began to share about Mr. Earl, he was a veteran. And said, "Did you know that he was a pilot?" I did not know that. He even got shot down more than once. And just to think, you know, most of you know I don't care about flying, period. But to fly and get shot down and you do it again? That's commitment. Commitment. And I thought about what ones like Mr. Earl and other veterans have experienced that most of us cannot even begin to imagine. But we're here and we have freedom because of their commitment to serve in faithfulness under that flag. But on the other side is the Christian flag. It represents a greater kingdom, the kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I remember as a child in vacation Bible school learning the pledge to the Christian flag. And then I got all messed up earlier this century when Gina, who was the director of the child care program at Gardendale, and they had their closing ceremony and had the Christian flag in there. And I learned, there's some words not right. And we got online and looked at, they've now changed some of the words to the Christian flag from what I learned a bunch of years ago when I'd be in vacation Bible school. But they still call us to focus on Jesus and that we're in it together for His kingdom. Did you know that if you're a follower of Jesus, you're a soldier under this flag? Well, listen to what Paul has to say in 2 Timothy, the second chapter. "You then, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and which you have heard from me through many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. Share in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. We're to be willing to share, even in suffering, as good soldiers. No one serving in the army gets entangled in everyday affairs. The soldier's aim is to please the enlisting officer. And in the case of an athlete, no one is crowned without competing according to the rules. It is the farmer who does the work, who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in all things. And I want to focus this morning on verses 3 and 4 as he talks about living as good soldiers of Christ and what that looks like in our lives. And to do that, I want to kind of both honor those who have served our nation and challenge us who are soldiers of Christ. Because I know that's a concept we don't often hear. But if you're a follower of Jesus, you're called to be a soldier. So what are some requirements of being a good soldier? And the first is you have to volunteer. You have to volunteer. God didn't take away our free will. He doesn't force us into service. We have to make a commitment. He calls us. But we have to volunteer. And for those who have been veterans since 1973, that's been the case. Some of us are old enough to remember a draft into the Army of the United States. And I remember some there at Cherokee as I was growing up and reaching into high school who volunteered because they learned that their draft number had come up and they'd rather, if they're going to serve in a different branch. So they quickly ran and volunteered so they wouldn't serve in the other branch. But as right after I registered, they began to close the draft down. And since 1973, there's been a complete volunteer army. But you know, we're here to thank those who volunteered. And we're here to thank those who answered the call. Because they both became faithful servants of our nation. But hear this. There is no draft when it comes to the Lord's army. There is no draft. We have to say yes to God. We have to voluntarily commit ourselves. Now, God does do His call, and His call comes in two ways. God's first call to us is for salvation. It's what Wesley called prevenient grace. God's calling us from sin to salvation. His prevenient grace is God as a good shepherd coming looking for His lost sheep. His prevenient grace is Jesus knocking on the door of our hearts, wanting in. As the Revelation said, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And we will share a meal together as friends." But we have to answer the door. He doesn't burst the door open. He knocks. And be as certain that if you've never opened the door to Christ, He's that knock you're feeling. He's that nudge in your heart because He wants to be your Savior. That's God's prevenient grace. And He fills you with cleansing when you say, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus," when you accept Him. But when you accept Christ as your Savior, Christ then calls you into His army. He doesn't call you just come to sit still. He calls you to serve. He calls you to be witnesses, ambassadors for Him and for His mission purpose in your life. He gives you spiritual gifts so that you can fulfill that calling and mission in your life. Now, we need to understand this on this Veterans Day. We honor the veterans who served under this flag. there are no veterans in this place under this flag. You don't become a veteran of this flag until you reach the new kingdom. We honored them last week on All Saints Sunday. Because as long as you have breath in this life, you're still called to be a soldier under the flag of Christ in His kingdom. As I was reminded, Gene and I were reminded at a New Room conference about a month ago now. They were praying for different segments of the congregation there, 2,500 or so folks. And they were growing by this age group and this age group, starting with the millennium group. And then they said, everyone over 60, stand up. And said, some of you are looking toward retirement, and some of you may even ended up in retirement already. But here's the thing. You're going to be the unretired, because you don't get to retire from God's kingdom until you enter the new kingdom. We're all veterans. We're not veterans in this life until we enter the new kingdom. And so while we serve in this army, Paul says, so put on God's armor now. And then when the evil day comes, you'll be able to resist the enemy's attacks. And after fighting to the end, you will still hold your ground. So the first thing is volunteer. The second requirement is faith. Faith. Those who serve under this flag have to have faith in those who lead them. Have to have faith that our government will supply them, train them, and give them the resources needed to fulfill their mission. And those who serve under this flag have to have faith in the one who calls us. Have to have faith in His ability to meet our needs. One of the great testimonies of that is David. Do you remember? It's the shepherd boy David. Not yet old enough to be in the army of Israel, but he was sent by his dad to bring some supplies to his brothers who were serving in Israel's army. But he found them all in fear because of this Philistine called Goliath. But Goliath, David didn't see as an obstacle, because he knew that God was greater. And you remember he went out to face Goliath, and he said to Goliath, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I imagine that Goliath was laughing, but he didn't laugh very long, did he? Because David had faith to believe in this awesome God. And my friend, that awesome God promises to supply our needs as well. Paul writes in Philippians, and my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. But faith is implemented by commitment. That's the next one. It takes a commitment, a complete commitment. Those who serve under this flag have to be committed to this nation, and they're willing to commit even their lives to bring us freedom. And Jesus expects that kind of commitment out of you and me. It used to be that preachers in the district would get together for a monthly meeting. And I remember several years ago, one of those preachers' meetings, the district superintendent shared that he had met with a small church the night before, a church that was looking for a new pastor. That pastor was now was retiring and wouldn't be serving any longer. And he had met with them to see kind of what they were looking for, the traits that they felt they needed in a pastor. And a couple had lifted up a few traits. And then he said, one of the men said, well, I tell you what we need. We need a preacher who's sold out to Jesus. And the district superintendent said, I agree. And I believe any preacher that I put here would expect the congregation to be sold out to Jesus as well. Are you willing to do that? You see, that's what commitment is. It's giving our lives fully to Christ. Luke put it this way, talking about the response of the first disciples. When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed Him. They left everything. And the thing about it in the gospel is, it's in leaving that we find. It's in surrendering that we discover freedom. Jesus put it this way, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give your life, give up your life for me, you will find it. You want life, you surrender it, you give it away. And in doing so, you find life. The next requirement is that of discipline. Discipline. You can't serve under this flag without coming under some discipline. The discipline to walk in a different way. The discipline to step out of some of the part of life and to go where you're sent and to be prepared to discipline your body and your mind so you're ready when called upon. And the same thing is this. You've got to be disciplined. Notice in the Scripture, no one serving in the army gets entangled in everyday life. They have to come out of everyday life in order to serve and take the discipline to walk differently. Well, friends, we got to untangle ourselves from the world. We can't just come and sit in worship and then go and live as we please. We've got to walk differently so that we're not entangled. And it takes discipline to say no to the culture. It takes discipline to walk different from the world. It takes discipline to grow in the habits of prayer and Bible study and worship. But let me come at that discipline in a different way. Peter says, be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you. Be ready. That takes discipline. Did you know that if you're a follower of Jesus, you have a testimony? If you're a follower of Jesus, you have a testimony. But what if you were to be asked this week by a neighbor or someone at work or school, why do you believe what you believe? Will you be ready to share testimony? You see, part of the discipline that Peter's talking about is we need to discipline ourselves so that when the opportunity comes, we're ready. I shared about methods of being ready in a Bible study earlier in my ministry here. And I pointed out that I think we all need to be ready to share our testimony in 5 minutes or less. And the way to do that is to write our testimony out. B.C., before we met Christ. The cross, how we met Christ. And A.D., how it's been since we met Christ. And bring that down so that we're ready. That's disciplining ourselves to be ready. But then in addition to discipline, we need obedience. We need obedience. One thing I note about soldiers under this flag is they're obedient to those who command. They go at command. They act at command. I'm a part of our District Board of Ordained Ministry. And every year at this time of the year, we have to interview all those who are coming into ministry or who are what we call local pastors who are serving with a license to serve within our church. One of the ones I had the privilege of interviewing is a retired Army sergeant, a master sergeant. And one of the questions we ask is, what have been some of the challenges in your church? And this retired master sergeant said, well, my biggest challenge is this. When I was in the Army, people obeyed. And when I gave an order, they obeyed. But I'm having trouble with that in the church. I want to give instructions, but they don't want to hear them. And they definitely don't want to obey. You know, Christ calls for us to be obedient. Jesus said, "Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me." Not simply accept him, but obey him. They're the ones who love me. You remember that old song, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." John Newton captured that in a saying once. Newton is the one who wrote the song "Amazing Grace." And he said that there was a time when God had two angels come before him, and he had assignments for them on earth. And one of them was going to be assigned to lead the greatest nation on earth. And the other one was going to go to the dirtiest village on earth and sweep the streets. And he said, what's different about the angels than with us, we would be looking at one another saying, I want his job. Or I'm glad I got this job and that's your job. But the angels said, we'll go. Not debating who had the better job, they just were obedient to God. And the truth of the matter, that's what God wants from us. We all have different callings upon our lives, but we're called to be obedient, to serve Him wherever we are. Which brings me to the last one, and that is devotion. Oh, there's probably some other words that could be used, but I want to close with this. Devotion. Those who serve under this flag are called to be devoted to this nation. Devoted to those who are in command. In fact, in Paul's writing, he says, the soldier's aim is to please the enlisting officer. Well, Christ wants that devotion out of our lives as well. He wants the devotion that leads us to want to please Him. Alton Coleman shared a poem about devotion. Listen to it. One day I looked at myself, at the self that Christ can see. I saw the person I am today and the one I ought to be. I saw how little I really pray and how little I really do. I saw the influence on my life, how little of it was true. I saw the bundle of faults and fears I ought to lay on the shelf. I had given a little bit to God, but I hadn't given myself. I came from seeing myself with my mind made up to be the sort of person that Christ can use with a heart He may always see. How's your commitment? This past week in our Bible study, Wednesday, I shared a devotional from William Barclay that he said, we will live well if the only thing we fear in this world is to fail God and let Him down. We will live well if the only thing we fear is to fail God and let Him down. Each week in chapel, get to share with the children of our day school. And they sing a few songs, and one of the songs that Grace led them in this week kind of goes like this. I may never march in the infantry, or ride in the cavalry, or shoot the artillery. Some of you may remember it. I may never zoom over an enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army, yes, sir. You're in the Lord's army if you're a follower of Jesus. Have you said yes, sir, to Him? Have you made that commitment? One of the things that strikes me as the children sing that, they sing it with joy and lusto, and no, they don't fully understand what it means to say yes, sir. But God wants that kind of childlike faith in us to say yes, sir, to Him today. Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your Word, and we confess the challenge of Your Word for our lives. Open us to what we need to do. Show us those areas that we need to renew to be faithful soldiers in Your army. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.